Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 89 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Leonard, joined as always by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. How was your week?
Just a boring week. I went to the Scranton Con. It was a little smaller, but fun. I only picked up one book. I picked up Demon Annual 2 with the first appearance of Hitman.
I knew that.
You knew that?
Yeah.
For the low price of $3, so I was happy with that.
So Tom was there, I know, our friend Tom Durinick.
Yes.
Did you win any door prizes? Did you get anything good like that?
No, not while I was there. I didn't stay too long. I only stayed like a little over an hour, hour and a half. But this time they were doing a half-hour door prizes.
So. Ah.
So I had you know, many chances, but, you know, the Roker luck stood true.
Now, did they announce the date for the next one?
No, they did not.
All right. The sooner you find out, the sooner you let me know and we can get cracking, so we'll have our table there.
That's not my fault. Like, literally, Dave found out at his shop. He got the flyer and the notice when I told you, like, literally days after. These are how fast the shows go up.
Yeah.
You know, like, he doesn't plan months in advance unless it was the Winter Festival one was because Clark Summit came to him.
Right.
Do you know
right.
what I mean? So yes. Him, he's just like, oh, and I think this one was the hotel actually wanted to have something in the ballroom because they always like to have something going on. So it was a quick boom. How do you do? Let's go. So I'll try to keep you, you know, in the loop and get you as close as possible or give you enough lead time.
Right. Because I got a bunch of books that I just recently put up on the old eBay. And if you follow me on Twitter, you can find the link to them there.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a lot more to go through. That was only about two long boxes worth of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. And I'm sure after a couple rounds of things selling and or not selling, I'm just going to take whatever's left over to one of those little cons. You and I will split a table and go crazy.
Yeah. Yep. We'll go. It'll be the weekly long box table.
Yeah. So let's get into some news. Yep. I actually thought this was going to be a light week for news. And, you know, there was one story that I forgot about to mention to you, but it's in regards to Comixology and the guided view feature. I had people texting me about this while I was on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
The next DC TV show. I'm not sure if I should be worried or very scared.
Or both.
Speaking of worried, very scared, let's throw a little confused in there as well. There's Doctor Who news I have to talk about.
Yes, because I know.
Who puts this show together?
You do, actually. That's the sad thing. Somehow I still managed to sneak these in there.
Yeah, and I'm going to spring a question on here in regards to the next upcoming Marvel crossover. You know, maybe if your weekend was consumed with Hugh Jackman, like some of the rest of the world was. And then, of course, we have all of our other stuff to go over, the digital sales, the digital freebies, what we read last week. We cross over on everything except for one book. What we're looking forward to coming out this week, and I could guarantee you we do not have the same book this week.
Okay.
And, of course, then we also have you ever had a letter published in a comic sent in? And this was just more so that I can have Todd read his famous letter, at least locally famous,
yes.
And hopefully it'll become worldwide famous after today's show.
The show's going viral.
That's right. People listen to this all over the world.
Yes, I know. I've heard.
So, before we get into the actual news, I teased there a little bit. Did you go see The Wolverine this weekend?
No, I didn't get a chance. A bunch of us might go this weekend.
I was going to say, do you know anyone who went to go see it? Because I don't see myself getting a chance to see it.
No, I mean, it's people who came in the shop while I was sitting there talking about, like, you know, they saw it, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and word of mouth is it's pretty good. You know, not nobody came in, oh my God, it's amazing. And nobody came in, you know, it's the worst. It was just like they enjoyed it. So we'll see.
I had a lot of, you know, I saw a lot of people talking about it online. And the general consensus seemed to be that the first part of it was good and the last 20 minutes not so much, or vice versa.
Okay.
It's very odd.
Like I said, I'll probably get to see it, but you never know.
So let's start off with some news here. As I mentioned before, I think this came up, a little rumors of this were trickling out as our show was going to air last week, and that was in regards to Comixology and the guided view option. Mm-hmm. Now, I've downloaded some stuff from Mark Waid's Thrillbent, and they just had their store go live yesterday with all the books that they publish, and they're all DRM-free. So if that's your bag, by all means, go ahead and get them from Thrillbent. They have a lot of good stuff from a lot of creators, including Mark Waid himself, and that's who is publishing the digital version of Aw Yeah Comics. So, of course, check those out. But one of the things that they do is Guided View. And if you're not a digital person, you don't know what Guided View is. It's essentially as you're hitting the next button or clicking the page on your or touching the you know touching your pad to move along. It's essentially instead of turning a page, it's adding overlays to the existing panel or panels that you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
To change them. New things pop up, a character turns his head, dialogue bubbles come in and out, and I guess part of that feature was very heavily promoted on Comixology's front page last week, along with Batman 66 issue 4 was, you know, purported as having that guided view feature, as the previous three did as well. Then this issue did not. The issue 4 did not, even though it was promoted that it did. And as it turns out, Marvel apparently claims to have the patent on guided view or such similar technology.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it is a patent that they have had in place for 7 years. So apparently they are not allowing Comixology to do this any longer.
I guess if they have the right, and I can't see Comixology fighting them,
mm-hmm.
Because I think Disney might have a stable of high-priced lawyers
yes.
that they just keep around. They're paying them for doing nothing or, you know, fighting, you know, cases like this. So I can't really see, even if they had the, you know, Comixology was in the right. It's just a matter of who's got more money to drag this thing out. And, you know, we know both know the answer to that. So, like I said, I don't read many digital comics. And I actually saw my first guided view on the first Batman issue from the other day. Mm-hmm. The other day. And I was like, this is really cool. And I like this. And it's completely different experience reading it from the comic.
Right.
And I actually didn't know, because my friend was showing me, I didn't have the comic in front of me, didn't know what was different or wasn't, but I was like, yeah, this is much cooler than reading the comic format, and it'd be sad to see Comixology lose that, because I can imagine you like it, you get more digital comics than me.
I do. Mm-hmm. And it's a cool feature, mm-hmm. you know? It's a really cool feature, and I'm sad to see it go, but as you had mentioned, you know, if Marvel's got the deal on it, then Marvel's got the deal on it. That's all you could do.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they have they been doing this a lot, or like with the what is it called, the feature? I've lost
guided name. View.
The guided view. Have they been doing this a lot, or is this them starting it for the first time? Or?
Well, you know, like I said before, the Thrillbent books had them, mm-hmm. and I guess a lot more publishers are starting to do it with their digital stuff recently, within the last 2 or 3 weeks. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, if you go to Comixology, you know, I go through. Yeah, you'll see there. It's still on there. It says guided view native. And, you know, they have Batman 1 and 2 and 3, and they have their Wolverine, Japan's Most Wanted, which, of course, is going to have the guided view because it's Marvel. And there's some other books that have it, too. You know, Thrillbent had it beforehand, but it's further down on the list of guided view stuff than previously.
Because that begs an interesting question to me, at least. And so, like the Marvel comics through Comixology will have the guided view, but nobody else can have it.
Well, there are still some books that have it, and like I said before, Batman, you know, parts 1, 2, and 3 had it, 4 did not, even though last week it was touted as having it.
Okay, because it gets a little confusing there on, because that's Warner Brothers and DC, not so much Comixology, do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I guess there's some, you know, stuff with that, but that's very interesting. Like I said, I've only just tried it, and I thought it was really cool, and one of those things that could make me jump over to digital.
Yes, it's definitely quite the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, just continuing on with the news here, as I had mentioned, TV news, DC Comics TV news, I don't know whether to be afraid of or just worried in general. The CW president had a little briefing the other day where they were talking about some of the things that they're looking to go forward with, and when questioned about the much talked about Amazon show, the Wonder Woman show. He had said that they're more cautious about that. That's going on the back burner. But they are looking to have a Flash TV show sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
So I will watch a Flash TV show because I like The Flash. The best thing about that Flash TV show means that there probably will not be a Ryan Reynolds Flash.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
They could save him for a Deadpool movie now.
Right.
But no, and I'm hearing things now. I was reading in another article that they want to spin this out of Arrow.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they had him appear in Arrow and then just have it spin into his new book. His new show.
Which is something I always said, like DC had trouble with the movies. Obviously, I think Batman, Superman, or Superman, Batman is going to make a ton of money. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, with having their own network and, you know, just do a whole thing of, even if it's not all the Justice Leaguers, I think it could be kind of cool to have a cohesive unit in the TV show. In the world, and just do this with characters that you see fit. Kind of like, you know, the way they did do it at Smallville in the end, they brought in more characters, but, yeah, and I don't know if it'll be good, bad, terrible, but I remember watching the Flash show back in the day in the 90s, and I enjoyed it. They spent a lot of money on that TV show, too. I forget how much it was for just the costume was ridiculous. But, you know, I enjoyed that one, and I'll give the Flash a chance, whatever. I can see them going with Barry, though, because of all the CSI shows, you can kind of work that whole, you know, that's a genre that's hot right now. So you have like the scientist / you know, cop thing, and they solve murders, plus he fights Mr. Captain Cold. Be pretty good.
I hope so.
Me too.
I'm down for Captain Cold returning. I just hope they, I don't know,
sleeveless. Don't make them sleeveless, baby.
I just want the Captain Cold I know and love, you know.
We all want some stuff back, but we got to move on sometimes.
Yeah, I've lived so far this long. I'm hoping. I don't know. I just don't see them putting a dude in a blue parka on TV, but then I don't see them putting a dude in a sleeveless blue parka on TV either.
So maybe no parka at all.
Maybe no parka at all. Oh, sigh. moving on with the news, I'd mentioned there's some Doctor Who news to talk about.
Yes.
And I'm going to say the headline and then I'll let you explain what all this means because it's, you know, I don't know what it means. It says the anniversary episode to have a simultaneous global broadcast.
Yep, on November 23rd, which is the actual 50th anniversary day of the show premiering on TV. Instead of having it, because, you know, they have it over there at 8 o'clock, and then, you know, the time difference, at 8 o'clock we get it here, you know, and then through the time zones through America, and then on you go. But so they decided, because everybody was worried about spoilers, and it's so big now, that they're going to just simulcast it everywhere, except for a few places like New Zealand and Australia, they said, just because that's not feasible when you get around to that side with what time it'll be. But mm-hmm. that means it'll be 8 o'clock in England and 3 o'clock on the East Coast, and then I'm not good with time zones. Just keep going from there. You know what I mean? So they'll all be on all at the same time. They'll probably rerun it throughout the day, obviously, I can imagine. But if you want to be there first, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
So, if I could ask, in the past, how much of a delay had there been between the UK broadcast and it being broadcast here?
I would say, like, a couple hours. Whatever, you know, I'm trying to think of what the hour difference is from London to, you know, America, the East Coast. I think it's like, is it 6 hours? Or something like that. So if it's 8 o'clock there, it would be 8 or 9 o'clock there, it would be 8 or 9 here. Because I think they have it at 8 over there, and we used to have it at 9. So
no, I was just wondering if it was like a huge difference. Like,
no,
many, like, many hours, or, you know, complete days.
No, the same day, if that's what you're asking. I'm getting confused.
Yes.
On like, the same day, 5 hours later. If that's what, you know, the time difference is. But I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm making it more complicated than it has to be.
Of course, that's your way.
That's the way of the Jedi here. But yeah, so it'll be the same day, 5 hours later.
Now, the other thing I wanted to mention was that I saw in the release that it says that it's going to be shown in 3D as well?
Yes, if the certain cable companies have the 3D option, if that's, I don't know, because I don't have the fancy schmancy cable here, if we have a 3D BBC, but if you do, you'll be able to watch it in 3D.
Oh, boy. And, Doctor Who in 3D, huh?
Yes, and also they're going to do it in a few cinemas.
Really?
Yeah, which I would love to do, but I don't think it's going to happen because the second somebody was behind me, like, you know, with a newbie going, "That's the TARDIS. That's the Doctor." I would just go crazy.
I think if you were a newbie Doctor Who fan, you would probably want to do that in the privacy of your own home. You would not want to go to a theater experience with, like, the hardcore of the hardcores just to be, I don't know, ripped to shreds completely, you know, I don't know.
You never know. There might be one. I'd actually think there'd be more than that, because there'd be a hardcore fan with either their boyfriend or their girlfriend who they drug along, who wasn't a fan, and I could see that happening, asking questions. "Who is that now? That's the Doctor. Well, there's three Doctors. Well, they're the same, but virgin." And I'd be like, "Oh, God, all right, this is over." Because otherwise, I know me and you would be there. Because I know you'd go to the cinema with me. Cinema. But I don't think I'll be going to that. I'll be on my couch at 3 o'clock, though, probably. Maybe you can come over.
And that's a Sunday, right?
No, that's a Saturday.
That'll be a Saturday.
Yeah, you'd come over for that, right?
I'm going to mark it in the calendar so I can call you and harass you while it's going on.
We could come over and we could live tweet it together.
Yeah. So, before we wrap up with the news here, I do just want to mention one other thing, and that is the upcoming Marvel crossover Infinity. I guess it spins out of Thanos, Thanos Rising. They had the free comic book day thing, which I haven't gotten a chance to read yet. And it's the big Jonathan Hickman miniseries. It starts in 2 weeks from this episode coming out. Now, the question I have for you is are you getting this?
Yes.
Now, do you get the other Hickman Avengers books as well?
I only get the New Avengers.
Okay. Because I'm sure you saw his tweets the other day about this.
No, I missed them. I don't follow him on Twitter.
Okay, so essentially what it comes down to is he had said that he had put together this little chart that, you know, obviously you can read the miniseries in and of itself. It says, while the event proper can be read, issues 1-6, without the other issues, the thing is built a good bit like a choose-your-own event, with the entirety, including the Avengers and New Avengers books. It's over 400 pages, and he's like, I'll never tell you guys what to buy. However, if you really want the full experience, you need to get both books. And to me, obviously, you know, he writes those books and he wants everyone to read them. But here we are at another event where there's tons of books that are tying in. We all know that they don't really matter. Obviously, even if you're going to stick to what the writer is writing, you have to buy six $5 books. And then another 10 $4 books over the course of 3 months to get the full story.
Okay.
That's a lot of money.
That is. I mean, it's the same. It's to a lesser extent with, you know, the Trinity War. They have all the tie-ins and stuff like that. But, you know, I really, like, I know, and I complain about it more, too, that they do it a lot. But you know what? I'm just going to stick to the books that I read. And if, you know, I'm lost, so be it. I've had that happen with a couple of, you know, crossovers in the past. But I'm sticking to New Avengers because I really enjoy it. And I'm just going to get the Thanos, Infinity crossover. I'm thinking, like, as you said, it comes out of that. But that's all I'm going to get. I mean, and whatever books, I mean, if there's an FF Infinity crossover, then, or a Fantastic Four, I don't get the FF, Fantastic Four one, then so be it. I'll pick that one up. But I'm not going out of my way to get a lot of, you know, tie-ins. And I can only imagine that there's going to be a few that aren't ongoings. They're going to be like, you know, maybe one of Thanos' crew is going to get a one-shot or something like that. Not going to go crazy. Unless I see a creative team that I really enjoy, then maybe I'll pick it up. I don't know.
Right. Because I just, we just wrapped up Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
We just wrapped up Age of Ultron, and now here we are with another giant crossover. And like I said, even still, even if you just get the main miniseries, that's two extra books a month at $5 each.
Right, but coming out of Age of Ultron, if you didn't want to read it, you didn't have to. I mean,
no, and like, you don't have to read any crossover, to be completely honest with you.
But here's what I'm saying, which is a difference between Hickman. Like, if you're reading Avengers, you know, like this, maybe it'll go into Infinity and stuff like that. But I look at Age of Ultron has done really well. It's a 10-issue, not story-wise, but 10 issues of story. Every book had an Age of Ultron with the number AU on it. If you didn't want that book, you know, you didn't have to get it. And a lot of books that I've read, I got them anyway because I was getting those titles. They just skip a beat right over them. Like the Fantastic Four one was real easy, you know. There was only one mention of something in it. And then the next time we saw the book a few issues later, that storyline started, it was like, oh, when, you know, you guys went off to do this thing, Ben mentioned this. And I was like, perfect. You know, I'd like to see more of that, but then you don't get all that crossover money that, you know, completists or people who want to read all of it get. But I like the way the Age of Ultron was done.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just this just continues to me the crossover fatigue of all these, you know, and DC, of course, is no better, of course,
mm-hmm.
with, you know, Trinity War, as you had mentioned, and, you know, you have to get the three Justice League books, and then you kind of sort of need to get Pandora and Phantom Stranger and Constantine and all this other stuff, and it's just depressing.
Mm-hmm. See, it's just the word have to is just, and I know we don't have to buy anything, but, you know, I've been reading a little bit of the Trinity stuff, and I just feel that the books you need are Justice League, Justice League of America, and Justice League Dark. Those side books you don't need at all. Because I read Constantine, and Constantine's just, oh, this is Constantine and Shazam off away from the main group doing something. And, like, it's not, like, you're completely lost either way if you read one and don't read the other. And I do have crossover fatigue, too, but I just think it gets a little blown out of proportion.
Mm-hmm. It does.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, just, it seems like I'm in a down note for today. It's just...
And it's usually the other way around.
I'm usually negative. Right, yeah.
But...
I don't know, it's just a little depressing to see all these books coming out, and I'm hoping they don't muck up the books that I like too much.
Yeah, but and that's why we always talk about the side books, the little known books that just chug away, that they almost leave them alone sometimes. Yeah, there's a crossover. You have to do your obligatory crossover, but for the most part, they're not in the big, big stories, and those are the fun books.
Right. So let's move on to some freebies and some digital sales going on right now through Comixology. The free books that they have up there, you know, speaking of Thanos... they have Silver Surfer issue 34 from the late 80s, early 90s. It was the beginning of a big Thanos storyline. Darkhawk number 1, which I think we've mentioned before, has been a freebie in the past, as well as AVX VS number 1.
Okay.
That was the mini series that was going on during Avengers vs. X-Men, where it was just a bunch of different random battles by different random creative teams. Which is spun off into the AVX book, which is still existing to this day.
I always laugh when I see I'm like, AVX or Avengers vs. X-Men still going on?
There's the What If that was a weekly series that ended this past week.
Yep.
So I didn't, even though it was by someone that we both like very much, I'm guessing you did not check that out?
No, I'm done with Avengers vs. X-Men, AVX.
The sales that are going on is a bunch of Smurfs comic books. I'm sure that's in direct relation to the upcoming Smurfs movie, that they have those for sale. And they also have the entirety of Flashpoint for sale as well. I'm sure in honor of the Flashpoint... what's the exact name of the direct-to-DVD thing that came out today? It's like the Flashpoint Paradox, I think.
Yes, it's called... Justice League Flashpoint Paradox. You got to get the Justice League on the cover.
Yeah, well, this apparently, you know, is going to tie the direct-to-DVD comic universe into the New 52.
I can understand why they'd want to do that.
Yes. But. So that'll be interesting. I did pick that up. The Flashpoint Paradox. I don't see myself getting a chance to see it anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like to have those things just sitting around. It's like, oh, I got, you know, they're like 79, 80 minutes to kill. Let's sit down and watch it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll get to watch it anytime soon either.
DC always does a really good job with their digital books. Mm-hmm. Or their digital books. Their direct-to-DVD comics.
Ah. So is it just the Flashpoint Mini that's on sale, or is it like the tie-ins?
No, it's the whole thing.
The whole
it's
kit the, and caboodle, huh?
Yeah, it's the main miniseries. It's all the ancillary miniseries, all the little one-shots. Everything, everything. And it's a bit of a mixed bag, you know. A friend of mine did his best to get caught up, and he did get caught up. He read everything. They even have issues of Booster Gold that lead up to it.
Yeah, that was a prequel to Flashpoint, I remember that.
Uh-huh. You know, I could tell you, the Flashpoint miniseries itself, you know, maybe get the first issue, maybe the last issue, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
The Batman Night of Vengeance is really good. That little 3-issue miniseries.
I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one was really good. I liked the Emperor Aquaman crossing over with the Wonder Woman one. That one was good too. And the Frankenstein Creatures of the Unknown was more or less a prequel to the Frankenstein Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. book in the New 52.
I think I only got the main Flashpoint one and then the Batman one, and that was it.
Yeah, I think I picked up a... there was the Reverse Flash one-shot that I grabbed, and then, like I said, the Aquaman, Wonder Woman stuff I picked up just because I thought the Aquaman stuff was very interesting, and the Frankenstein stuff was an early non-Vertigo Jeff Lemire thing, and that's what drew me to that.
Did you get the Citizen Cold one?
I did.
Yeah, okay. I got
but
that.
I'm not recommending it.
Yeah. You know what one was a really good one-shot? The Gorilla Grodd one.
Oh, yeah?
I really liked that one. I forgot I got that one-shot. That was really good.
So, yeah, the entirety of Flashpoint is up. You want to pick and choose. You just want to get the ones that you like. They're all 99 cents a pop. So, yeah, check those out. And, you know, maybe we're wrong. Tell us we're wrong if we are.
Mm-hmm. Is that all the digital comics?
That is everything that's going on in the digital realm of sales and freebies. Yes, sir.
I think now would be a good time to mention our sponsor, Transporter. Transporter is a private cloud device that you own and control. It has all the benefits of the cloud without any privacy concerns or reoccurring monthly fees. It's as simple to use as Dropbox, and in addition to Windows and Mac, there are mobile versions for iOS and Android, and they have their choice of memories all the way up to 2 terabytes, which I don't know exactly how much it is. It's a lot, but I'm pretty sure you know, Leonard.
It is. It's 2,000 high-definition movies or 1,000,000 photos. So that's a lot.
Yes, I only have 900,000 photos, so that'll leave me some room.
That's right, and... you can visit Transporter at filetransporter.com/longbox for all the information, tutorial videos, much more information than we can go into here on the podcast. And if you do decide to pick up a Transporter from them of any size, you can get 10% off by just using the code longbox at checkout. And using the link and using that code lets them know that we sent them to you.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you to File Transporter for being a sponsor of the show. So, Todd, I think it's time to dive into some books.
Yes, it is. I love comic books.
So I'm going to ask you to begin with Hunger Number 1.
Okay.
That was by Joshua Hale Fialkoff, mm-hmm. And I don't know who the artist was.
Kirk. Is it Leonard Kirk? I have the book right in front of me. I'm looking right now. Yes, Leonard Kirk.
The only reason I was saying that is because I lamented that a lot of the Marvel books from this past week did not have previews available online, so I do apologize for those.
Yes. Basically, the book is coming out of Age of Ultron. It's Galactus coming to the Ultimate Universe, and I was a little let down by this book because of the fact that I read a 10-issue you know, story, and at the end they're like, oh, Galactus is going over to the Ultimate Universe. And spoilers, in this, he doesn't show up till the last page of this book, so I was kind of hoping to get it, like, you know, faster, and it seems like I had a read about the Ultimate Rick Jones, you know, being talked to by the Watcher, who says something bad is coming. And, you know, there's a Kree, I forget what they're called, they're the Skrulls in the Ultimate Universe, the Chitauri, I think is right. Their name.
Yes.
And they're out at war, and Rick's watching them, and that's where Galactus is supposed to show up. And at the end, you know, we get Galactus, and the other Ultimate Galactus is running around, so we might get a fight between them, which is really cool. But it's a good story. If I didn't read Age of Ultron and knew the premise, it would be a little cooler to see the reveal of Galactus at the end. But to get there after reading Age of Ultron, I was a little let down, and I'm hoping the rest of the mini is better because of it.
So is this another one that's leading into a bunch of tie-ins or no?
No.
This is just...
As far as I can tell, because like looking through the preview, it's just the Hunger and the miniseries, how many issues it is, and I get confused because I wish we would get back to putting... one of six on the cover, but nobody seems to do that anymore.
So I'm sad to hear that you were disappointed by that, sir.
Right, but I understand that, you know, that's the reveal, and I'm going to keep going because I like the writer, and I want to see where this goes because I want to see the two Galactuses. Would it be Galacti?
It would be Galacti.
It would be Galacti. Okay, it's a Galacti affair. That was a good one. But yeah, so I'm going to keep going, get all the rest of them, and hope it, you know, gets better.
So that was the one that you were most looking forward to seeing this, reading this past week. Mine that I was most looking forward to reading was Batman Superman number 2 by Greg Pak with art by Jay Lee. Now, the reason I was looking forward to this was because this was a book on the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure what I thought of the previous issue, and I wasn't sure if I was going to give this book one more issue, which would have been this one, or if I wasn't sure if I was going to give it until the end of the arc, which was going to be issue 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get a little bit more information before I read this book, so I was a little more forearmed going into this before I read it, and I'm not going to say that helped, but I think this issue does a much better idea of telling you what this story is.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I understand that they were going for a little bit of a mystery in the previous issue. However, the mystery was too confusing to a dum-dum like me. This issue is much more clear as to what the story is. And if you see the cover, I think you can kind of sort of figure it out a little bit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sticking with this book based on this issue, or at least until the end of this arc. But so far, this does not have a little red tick mark next to it on my list.
Ah, that's good. I enjoyed this issue. I probably enjoyed it way more than you, the way you make it. I mean, I loved it. I was just as confused as you were for the first issue, what was going on. And mm-hmm. I got the information that you did, and I'm like, oh, this makes perfect sense. But there's a moment with Superman and the Kents in this that I think is one of the most touching moments in comics in a while. And I was like blown away, and I was like, on this scene alone, you have me for this story arc, and maybe like, you know, for longer. And then there's a moment when Batman's in a fight and he's like, he knows this move and he knows that move. I'm like, the Superman stuff was amazing, and the Batman stuff was really cool, and it was enough to make me want to find out what the villain's doing and why he's doing it. And Jay Lee's stuff looks good. He uses maybe a little too much silhouette at times, but I think that's cutting corners so he can make a deadline. But his stuff is beautiful, and I really enjoyed this book, and more than a storyline for me. It's
right,
on my to keep.
Well, you know what I'm saying is it could go off the rails in issue 3. But even if it goes off the rails in issue 3, I'm still sticking with it till issue 4,
mm-hmm.
just because that's the end of this little storyline. But based on this issue, I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, I have high hopes after this issue.
Yeah. Like I said, especially coming off the last time around, not so high hopes. This time around, definitely high hopes.
Gotcha.
So I'm glad that I can say that I can keep this book around longer, because that means I'll definitely I'll hopefully be checking out Greg Pak's Action Comics when he takes that over in November.
Yep.
So, moving right along, let's talk about Superior Spider-Man 14.
Yes.
Another book that does not have a preview. Thank you very much, Marvel. This is, I guess, a one-shot. You know, it's a self-contained little story. I think this is a good jumping on point as well, because I think they do a really good job of explaining what's going on. The crux of this issue is Dan Slott, the writer, tying up the loose end of the Daredevil Shadowland. See, Todd, before Mark Waid wrote Daredevil, there was this whole long history beforehand. And just up until recently, before Mark Waid took over, Daredevil was possessed by an actual devil, decided to take over all of Hell's Kitchen, turn it into a giant ninja paradise, and then that was taken over by the Kingpin.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't understand how he could do that when the character's so new, but maybe it's a different character, but I understand what you're saying, and as somebody who didn't read Shadowland, but reading Superior Spider-Man, you're right, it was good. I wasn't lost. I completely got the idea of what Shadowland was.
And this is essentially Doc Ock, Superior Spider-Man, coming in and attempting to clean up the mess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the best way I could put it without giving away too much of what happens in the issue. But I really like this issue. I liked it a whole bunch.
I did, too, especially after reading the last issue. I have to say, this is one of those books that I'm never sure where it's going or what's going to happen, and I really enjoy that. And I went into this, and you know, going after the Kingpin and Pin and Shadowland, and Dan Slott just had a lot of great ideas. I like the guy in the basement that, you know, that was there, and then the ending totally makes me want to read more, because this person keeps popping up here and there, and I'm like, oh, when this goes down, it's going to be awesome. So I enjoy Superior Spider-Man, and I was thinking I really want to see a panel with Dan Slott and Ron Mars to do the, at the time they were the two most hated men in comics, writing great runs when Ron Mars killed Hal Jordan and everybody went nuts on him. Yeah. And, you know, Dan Slott does, you know, Superior Spider-Man with Doc Ock in Peter's body. I'm like, I would love to just sit at a panel and listen to the two of them tell death threat stories and like how, like, you know, people just came after him. Yet, both books sold very, very well.
Right. I think it came out this week that, you know, outside of events or, you know, a first issue bump, that Superior Spider-Man is the number one ongoing book from Marvel, sales-wise.
That's great. Like I said, a lot of people attacking it, and I'm like, Marvel's not going to change their ways while it's selling this well. And I wonder how long they'll keep it around because it's selling so well.
You know, and that's another thing. One of the sites, CBR, Comic Book Resources, had a poll up the other day. Now, I didn't check it out, but they had a poll asking people what they thought, how long Doc Ock was going to be around as Spider-Man for.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I see it being quite some time.
Me too.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at some numbers here. This is the highest that Spider-Man has consistently sold, at the very least, in the last 6 years.
I was talking with David. He said Spider-Man hasn't sold this well since Civil War for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was probably around that wheelhouse right there.
Right. Yeah, actually, Civil War, I think, was 06. And at the very least, yeah. So, 06 was probably the last time it sold this well.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, again, if you don't look at, like, an Age of Ultron miniseries, you know, it sells better than any of the other X-Men books, Guardians of the Galaxy, any of the Avengers books. It's the number one selling ongoing bi-monthly, and it comes out twice a month. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the original pre-now Marvel bi-monthly book.
Gotcha.
I remember when they did it after with the Brand New Day stuff, and it was three times a month.
Yep, when Spider-Man was three times a month, and they would change the creative teams for a storyline and stuff like that. I think this is better, one cohesive story, because I kind of got lost in the, I would like one creator and not the other, and it felt like I missed something. But Dan Slott firing away on all cylinders on this.
He's got a good group of backup people. Sometimes you'll see an issue is like co-written by
Christos Gage
or Yost, Chris Yost, who's doing the Superior Spider-Man team-up book.
Mm-hmm.
And now that that's gotten its relaunch with a new number one, that fits right in. Like, right in the beginning, it's like, read this, read Superior Spider-Man 14 before you read this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those three, you know, Yost handling the team-up book, Slott handling the main book, and then Gage doing a little cleanup here and there, I think that's a perfect combination.
Yep, totally.
So, moving along to other books, this is our book of 2013. We haven't talked about it as much as we should be, especially as much as we love it. I think we only end up talking about it like every, like two out of every three times it comes out, and that is All-Star Western, and we're talking about All-Star Western number 22, as always by, 22, as always by Jimmy Pamiotti, Justin Gray, with art by Maura Tatt. No breaks for that creative team. They have done every single issue. Is that correct?
Yes, they have. Maura Tatt didn't do backups when they had them. I think he did one of them. But otherwise, 22 issues of at least the main story of being all three creators, which I think is awesome. But go ahead.
Yeah, and this one didn't have the there's no other New 50. We've said it before on the show, and we'll say it again. There's no other New 52 book that can say that.
Nope.
Because I think even Capullo and Snyder's Batman even had like two issues where it was a different artist.
Exactly. It was Becky Cloonan. It was that right between the Joker storyline and the beginning of the Clayface storyline.
Yep. And then there was the one in between the Owls and the Joker storyline.
Yep. That's right.
So this issue continues. It's still continuing on with what's been going on recently since Booster Gold showed up in the past. Jonah is now in our timeline. The end of last issue was him getting locked up in Arkham Asylum. Now, it says here in the preview that there was the backup with the Stormwatch, but it wasn't in this issue. I was actually just going to mention that. There was no backup in this one.
No, there wasn't. It was all Maura Tatt, Gray, and Palmiotti.
Did they just tack on more pages? Yeah, they just tacked on more pages of the story.
They've done that in the past. Occasionally, when there's not a backup, Maura Tatt will do the whole, I don't know what's in a 399. Is it 30 pages? 32?
That's what I'm checking right now.
He'll do the whole thing, and he's done that. I'm trying to think of the few times that he has. I think Zero was a whole issue and a couple other ones. But I'm happy that way. I'm fine with the Maura Tatt, you know, full book and a full Jonah. I can live that way.
Counting pages.
Counting pages. I was trying to vamp there, but I've run out of steam, so. Looks good, though. I think he's definitely getting better on this and the coloring and everything, because it was a little wonky at times.
Yep, you were right. 30 pages.
30 pages, so. And the 10 will be the backup, you know, sometimes.
Yep.
But I... You know, great. This had me in stitches. This one, I was laughing at with some of the things with what, you know, they tell Jonah about smoking and like his answer.
And drinking.
And I love the fact that, you know, for how many issues he was stuck with Amadeus Arkham. And now, you know, his kid, his grandkid or whatever it is in this book, and the way, you know, people look at him and Jonah in the outfit and like gun. They're having gun discussions. I'm like, this was the I think the transfer from Booster to the last issue when he got, you know, trapped in Gotham was a little rough to get there because it was weird having Booster in the storyline in the past. But this issue, him running around modern day Gotham, was some of the most fun I've had in the book since it started.
I agree. And the art looked beautiful. I like the involvement of Batman in there, trying to figure things out, going back to the Vandal Savage storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm intrigued to see how that is going to play out.
Mm-hmm. There was even a nice nod to The Dark Knight with the mutants.
Yep.
And everything. It was just everything I love about this book was in this issue. And,
yes.
And killing me with the way he smokes a cigarette, too, by the way. It's very... puts me off a little bit. But
so fun. Yeah, it's a good book. It's a great book. It's our book of 2013. If you're not reading it by now, definitely check it out. We have not led you astray with any books. People we have told to check out Charles Soule on Swamp Thing have and loved it. People that we have told to check out All-Star Western have picked it up and loved it. So what are you waiting for? Go get it.
We'll wait.
So we do have one last book that we both read. And when Todd sent this to me, I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Wolverine number 7, another book from Marvel this past week that does not have a preview. written by Paul Cornell. And let me look to see who the artist is. But this is the beginning of a new storyline. The previous storyline, there were these, this alien came down and he was infecting a whole bunch of people. And when he attempted to infect Wolverine, whatever they implanted in Wolverine has caused him to lose his healing factor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff in here with Beast, and there's stuff in here with Storm. And, the artist, Mirko, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that last name, Mirko P.
I was holding the comic in my hand, and I'm like, Leonard, good luck.
Yep. You're going to need it.
Yep.
So, I've been reading Wolverine for a while because actually, for the longest time, I'd always bought Wolverine comics for my mom. My mom likes Wolverine. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, Wolverine comics stunk out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last couple years, someone decided, hey, we should put a good writer on Wolverine. And they've put tons and tons of good writers on Wolverine, from Mark Millar to Jason Aaron to now Paul Cornell. And is this a book that you normally pick up, Todd?
Nope. This is the first issue of this run. I mean, I've picked up Wolverine over the years, but haven't read it in years. But this was something that I picked up. Would you like the story of how it happened?
I certainly would. I'm down for a good story.
It was basically one of those things. Like, you know, it was a Tuesday night at the shop where Dave is putting the books out on the table, and I'm down there hanging out with him. And I was just flipping through it, and the first couple of pages grabbed me because I had heard about the Killable storyline that was coming up, where he would have no, you know, mutant power, he wouldn't have his healing ability. And I was just flipping through it, and it was one of those, how he's dealing with not having any mutant powers anymore. I don't want to get into too much stuff, but I thought it was deeper and better than, like, you know, a Wolverine book might have the right to be. And I was totally blown away by the emotion to it, and one thing led to another, and I ended up picking up the book and taking it home to read it from reading a few pages. And I think right from the beginning, it has the, like, what happened in previous issues. And I don't care about the virus thing. Basically, they're telling me right from the beginning and on the first page, Wolverine now has no healing ability. I'm like, good to go. Everything I need to know. I'll figure it out as I go. And I think Paul Cornell did a brilliant job on that.
Yes. This has been a really good run. I've enjoyed it quite a bit. Wolverine, like I said before, has been good for quite some time because Jason Aaron was the previous writer. And yeah, I like this story. I think the artist, again, whose name I'm not going to attempt to pronounce, did a really good job of capturing in Wolverine's facial expressions,
mm-hmm.
the anguish that he was experiencing not having his healing factor.
Yep. And some of the other stuff, just the way he was dealing with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
That me or you deal with every day, but as someone who never had to worry about anything like this. And there's like four or five things that come into play, and I'm like, these are all interesting takes on it. And I go back to Paul Cornell on Captain Britain and MI-13, and I liked him on the Demon Knights, and I had forgot that he was doing Wolverine, or I probably would have picked up 1-6, but definitely this issue just grabbed me, and I think it's a great jumping on point, too.
Yeah, and it was, you know, the previous issues were really good. Those ones had at least the first four issues had the Alan Davis art.
Mm-hmm. I might have to go back and try those two, just to see,
yeah.
to get them up to here, you know?
Definitely.
Good stuff.
So, that, I think, covers it for what we read from this past week. Todd, what are you most looking forward to coming out this week?
It's a smaller week for me, even though I joke 10 issues is a small week for me. I'm looking forward to, obviously, we both know it's Doctor Who Prisoners of Time 7 for both of us. We'll move that out of the way.
Oh, boy.
Another side book that it's not it yet, but is Injustice Gods Among Us number 7, because it's the issue I'm in.
Ah.
And exciting side note, Leonard. Tom did half the art. You know who did the other half? Or 1/3 of the art? You know who also did 1/3 of the art?
Who?
Kevin Maguire. I'm in a book that Kevin Maguire drew. Not by him, but that's pretty cool. But in the end, it's Red Lanterns, because I love Soul stuff, and I want to see where where Red Lanterns go with Guy Gardner, because I'm still a big Guy Gardner fan.
Yeah, now this is this actually would be my runner up for the book that I'm most looking forward to coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I liked the last issue, but I wasn't too keen on the art.
Gotcha.
I do like Charles Soule, as we've talked about before. I really like his Swamp Thing stuff. The first two issues of stuff that he did on Thunderbolts, which is a team that has no business being interesting, and he makes them interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what he did so far in the first issue. I wasn't too keen on the art, as I mentioned before. I'm looking forward to this one. It is a fifth week, fifth Wednesday month, so a lot of the annuals are coming out. There's an Animal Man manual. Yeah, listen to me. An Animal Man manual. An Animal Man annual and a Batman annual that are coming out this week as well. But the book I am most looking forward to coming out this week is Batman Incorporated number 13.
Ah.
The last issue of Batman written by Grant Morrison. And this is the last Grant Morrison book for quite some time. I think the next project he has is the Wonder Woman book. Mm. And that is not going to be seeing the light of day for quite some time.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think he'll drag his feet on that at all.
Yes. But, so yeah. This is, you know, if you're not keen on the New 52, if you're a Grant Morrison fan, obviously this is not the book to jump onto. It is the issue where he kind of sort of wraps everything up. I'll be interested to see what Morrison does in this issue. Mm-hmm. Very interested to see what he does in this issue to wrap up his little corner of the Batverse.
Definitely. I don't think I'll be picking that one up, though. You'll either, because you're my Grant Morrison screener, you'll have to let me know.
I am. And there have been some good issues here and there, but I don't think I've mentioned those to you to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into our final plugs here before we get into our Twitter question. Of course, you can get the show in many, many ways. One of the ways that you can get the show is through iTunes, and if you do get the show through iTunes, be sure to leave us a review. 5 stars is great. I see that we've had a lot of 5-star reviews come down the pike recently. That's great. If you want to write a review, we'd like that as well. You can always tweet us. We get a lot of people complimenting us both on Twitter, whether it be through the show's Twitter account, which is Weekly Long Box, or our own individual Twitters. Todd is Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker. And I am L.F. Chikarason. That's L-F-C-H-I-K-A-R-A-S-O-N. And I do tweet quite a lot there. You can also email me if you're a non-Twitter person listening to the show with that same information, lfchikarason@ymail.com. For some reason, my phone does not give me notifications anymore of my Yahoo Mail. So if I miss your email or take some time getting back to you, I apologize. And that's a more incentive for you to get back on Twitter.
Rudeness, Leonard. Rudeness.
No, not rudeness. I came home from vacation this past week, and I had like 4 emails in my inbox, and I'm like, what's going on? And, you know, the app did not give me any notifications on my phone while I was away.
Ah, because you were roaming.
I don't know. It did everything else, you know? Everything else came through perfectly.
I'll have to look at it, because you know me and technology.
You are the technological wizard of the show.
Yes, I am.
So the question from this past week was, have you ever had a letter published in a comic book? And I was hoping to get more responses. It made me sad not to see too many responses. We did get some from our usual listeners. Kevin Hellions, Team Hellions on Twitter, mentioned that he had letters printed in The Spectre, Hawkeye and Mockingbird, and The Walking Dead, specifically issue 84. I'm going to have to dig that one up to see if you'd used any swear words.
Ooh.
Ryan Fisher, a good friend of mine, longtime listener to the show, RPF5029, on Twitter, mentioned that he had a letter printed in Supergirl number 63. That was back when DC decided to bring back the letters pages, and he was complimenting the new team of Nick Spencer that had just come on issue 30, and by the time his letter saw print, they were no longer on the book. So he is a jinx. Another longtime listener, Michael Hanskar, MC Hanskar, sent me this link of the his letter that he, and I'll include that in our Twitter plugs when I send those out, and I just sent that over to Todd for him to check out. He'll get a kick out of that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And new listener, Paul Hicks, reading_Hicks, said he's had over 70 letters printed. That's a lot of writing, or that's a lot of good luck. Most notably, he had mentioned he had a letter printed in Adventures of Superman 500. In a milestone book, he had a letter printed.
A lot of people I remember back in the day. Do you remember Uncle Elvis?
Yes.
Yes, I miss Uncle Elvis. I hope he's still out there and well. A regular to the DC letters page.
Yeah, I think when everything transferred over to a message board and then to Twitter, maybe he got scared off.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go over my letter first.
Okay.
My letter is, it was published in a book that Todd and I never speak about.
Never.
And it was issue 33 of Secret Six. It's a very short letter that I just had. I want to let Gail, Jim, and everybody involved at Secret Six know that they are continually putting out the best comic book in the world. My friend Todd and I, that's this Todd on the show, bum rush everyone who comes into our local comic book store on a monthly basis, and we extol the virtues of how great Secret Six is. My wife, among others, is one of the converts. It is my most anticipated book, and I love, love, love it. And, yeah, they said, don't be attacking people coming to the comic book store. And they said that, you know, my wife has great taste. She has a few blind spots and things that she likes. Secret Six was one of the top of the food chain at the house. And while going to fish this book out of the collection, this is what happens when you let other people read your books.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow issue 32 of Secret Six has disappeared from my collection.
Oh, no.
And all I know is thumbs are going to be broken.
Do you know? Do you have any idea? Do you have clues to who it was?
Well, it could only be one of two people. But we're talking about, what are we now, like 3 years almost since this book has been in print? Mm. So I'm just going to chalk it up that I need to replace that book.
I was going to say, you'll never find the body. Never.
Yes.
It's over.
So how about you, Todd? What was your letter that you had printed?
I've only ever had one letter printed. And it was in the Flash annual, the first one, was back during the Barron and Geis run of the Flash. And there was more to the letter because they even put the dot, dot, dot at the end. So I wish, you know, that survived. But that's all that's... This is what's there. I'll read it.
What was this? What was 86?
86, 87.
Okay.
87. So I was maybe 12, 13. go ahead. You can make fun of me after I read it.
No, this is one of my favorite comic book stories in the world.
Dear DC, I would like to know why you can't bring back the old Flash. Why did you kill him off anyway? I thought he was one of your best comics. Now you have a teenager turning into a man with a grudge on his shoulder. To save a person's life is what they ask him to do, and he's worried about what he's going to get. The old Flash would have done it in a second. Literally. What is his problem anyway? He is so grumpy. Dot, 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 then my name. And then they're like, nah, just feed him and give him a few dozen hours to rest and he'll be fine. And I was like, okay. Years later, I had come to love Wally as my Flash, but that wasn't, you know, it was a harsh beginning back then.
Oh. That's just so awesome that as a 12-year-old you wrote a letter in. You were that like, you know, you felt that strongly about it.
Yes, this was my Superior Spider-Man back in the day.
Oh boy.
No. It was because it revolved around, I think it was in the issue one, they asked him to run a heart transplant across the country because they were snowed in or something. And he said, I'll do it for free medical insurance, which in my young days, I didn't know how awesome free medical would be. So I totally agree with him now. So I thought that'd be interesting.
Yeah. So, that's one of the most misquoted, letters that we taunt Todd about. Mm-hmm. It's usually, just broken down to why is the Flash so grumpy?
Which, you know, it comes from a bunch of different, I think, Flash covers where they always had the questions, you know what I mean? Why is the Flash, you know, doing this or doing that? So, but yeah, so I still get that at the shop to this day.
So I do thank anyone who contributed this week. I'll just assume that our listeners haven't had any letters published or they didn't feel strongly enough to send letters in like myself or Todd have. So, Todd, I will ask you, what is our Twitter question for next week?
Our Twitter question for next week is, What is the most underrated run of a comic for you? You think it doesn't get the credit it deserves? You think it should be in trade, but it's not? Or it's as good as, you know, Change Things, but just doesn't get any of the credit that some of the bigger, you know, more known runs of comics get? I don't know if that makes sense to you, but...
Well, my early front runner is the one that I mentioned.
Yes, I figured it might be for you, but that's not actually mine, so...
No, I'll definitely have to think about it. I'll have to definitely go check back through the archives to see if there's anything else that sticks out more than Secret Six.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't get the respect it deserves.
Yeah, so the Rodney Dangerfield of comics, if
yes.
you will.
Yes. I was going to do my impression because I know you love them, but I stopped.
I just have my one favorite Rodney joke that I do, but other than that...
Okay.
Is I don't know if, well, it's, you know, it's not like dirty. Rodney wasn't dirty, really, was he?
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Rodney was a good man.
Yes, he was. I have a few favorite Rodney jokes, too, but...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You want to do
so
it?
I think that wraps it up for this week's episode. Obviously, it sounds like you have nothing else to contribute or add to the festivities here today.
No, I'm done.
It's a perfect opportunity to wrap things up. I do thank everyone for listening to episode 89 of the Weekly Long Box. For Todd, this is Leonard, and we will catch you all here next week.